Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
Just so wonderful to be here in Brentwood. Kathy and I and our family were here for 6 years. It's always like coming home to be here. Can we give these children just one more great hand? That was so tremendous. Let me tell you right now, as a pastor, I've been Christian 52 years. I've been preaching, 43 years. How many of you know it's always harder to follow kids? I mean, where do we go from here? I just give you my heart and go home. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you. You are the giver. We celebrate this year that when you gave yourself, you gave your son. As parents here, we all know the worst pain in the world is child pain. Yet you, the second person of the Trinity, came, Jesus, fully God, your son, you gave him. We celebrate today your great gift. Help us now as we're transitioning out of Thanksgiving into Christmas to capture what's on your heart. We're going to entitle the first part of this Giver series, Giver of the Breakthrough. Need a breakthrough in your life today? Raise your hand. I finished this year as many years, and one of my best friends, Ron Lewis, dear friend of James and Pastor Rice, we buried his 23-year-old son this year after a three-year fight with cancer, and yet watch God gave he and his wife twins supernaturally and came to the end of this year, and as we do every year, I said, you know, Ron, I'm so thankful. He said, what are you most thankful? I said, I'm most thankful this year is over. He said, me too, and we started laughing. He goes, we've been saying that for 10, 15, 20 years now. But I want to help you understand the process through which God brings a breakthrough. I'm going to go into a story in 1 Samuel 7, 2 through 14. And this story records one of the most incredible breakthroughs in the history of Israel. Now, what is this that happened hundreds and hundreds, a few thousand years ago, have to do with you? Everything. Apostle Paul said, these stories in the Old Testament are given to you as examples that you might learn from them. We're going to examine this story and isolate four key points God brings you, whether you need a breakthrough in your finances, your health, your marriage. Some of you are at the point of breakdown this morning. The sure sign of looming breakthrough is looming breakdown. Typically, right before a breakthrough in our life, we feel like we're breaking down. I can't take it anymore. I can't make it anymore. I can't fake it anymore. Now, as we come into this passage, 1 Samuel 7, 2 through 14, says the ark had remained at Kirith Jearim a long time, 20 years in all. Hard to know Samuel's age. He was called very young as a child, probably in 30s. And Israel, since the battle of Ebenezer, roughly 20 years and a few months before, had lived in utter defeat. There were Israelites that had been born that had never seen a victory. In fact, most men in Israel and women at that time, they could never remember defeating the Philistines. They could only remember being chastened, losing their cities. Some of you today, victory is a faint memory. Whether it's your life or one of your loved ones, you've come this morning needing the giver to give you a breakthrough. Now, I want to tell you that crisis is used by God not to break you down, but to break you through. And as we come to this point, they're in a 20-year crisis of defeat. 20-year crisis of failure. And finally it says this, so Samuel said to all the Israelites, if you are returning to the Lord, that brings to my first point, consecration. Ground zero for your breakthrough is where crisis meets consecration. It's where crisis drives you to the point that if God does not break through for me, there is no breakthrough. If God doesn't somehow help me, there is no help. He said, if you're returning to the Lord with all your hearts, then rid yourself of the foreign gods and the Asheroths and commit yourselves to the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. So the Israelites put away their Baals and Asheroth, and serve the Lord only. Then Samuel said, assemble all Israel at Mizpah. Mizpah means watchtower, place of watching, place of prayer, place of watching to see what God might do. Then Samuel said, assemble at Mizpah, and I will intercede with the Lord for you. When they'd assembled at Mizpah, they drew water and poured it out. Now, One of the offerings of the Old Testament was the drink offering. It was a picture when you poured all the water out, you were saying, everything I am, I pour out to you. Every problem, every need, every crisis in my life. Some of you have been poured out all year and you're saying, Pastor Jim, I did not break through in 2014 like it helped. I did not get that breakthrough in my business or my life. They're pouring everything out in this moment of consecration. And it's interesting, they drew water. When they assembled, they drew water and poured out before the Lord. On that day, they fasted, then confessed, we sinned against the Lord. Drink offerings, prayer, intercession, fasting, all pictures of consecration. Now, Samuel was serving as leader of Israel at Mizpah. Sooner or later, you're going to have to come to the place of consecration. Sooner or later, you come to the place of consecration, which is typically fueled by the season of desperation, by the place of crisis. Now, when you come to the place of consecration, the next step is typically confrontation. Because when you begin to consecrate, when you begin to pour out your problems and turn to God afresh and rid yourself of your God replacements and all the things, an idol is simply a God replacement, that which you've replaced God with to be your God. And all of a sudden, whenever there's consecration, there's always confrontation, because the enemy fears consecration like nothing else, and he will come to confront you at the place of consecration. You'll see this in a moment in this story. He confronts you to drive you out of consecration. God allows him to confront you to defeat him in consecration. Now watch this. When the Philistines heard that Israel had assembled at Mizpah, had assembled at the watchtower, were fasting, praying, confessing, the rulers of the Philistines came up to attack them. Many of you find yourself at the place of consecration today. You've emptied yourself out, and the enemy's come to confront you in some crisis. They were afraid because of the Philistines. Why they're afraid? They could never remember defeating them. In our family, we face two children dying, wife with cancer. I lay dying of hepatitis after the mission field. We know what it is to be afraid. You say, Pastor, what do you know about the place of crisis? I remember my young son Robert, who went off to play college football at 228 pounds, went to the mission field, got a parasite, lay dying in my arms at 107 pounds. No doctor's answers. Holding him skin and bones, I brought him to the place of consecration. Crying over him. My phone rang, one of my dearest friends. He said, Jimmy, put that boy down and lift God up. They said, Samuel, pray for us. You say, Pastor Jim, I don't have a Samuel to pray for me this morning. You've got one better than Samuel. You have Jesus. According to Hebrews, he ever lives to make intercession for you. He's not in that manger anymore. You come to Jesus today and say, Jesus, I've got to have you. Now watch what happens here. It's so interesting. They said to Samuel, do not stop crying out to the Lord our God for us, that he may rescue us from the hand of the Philistines. Now it's interesting, even though the armies that had defeated them for decades were coming down around them, Samuel never stopped worshiping. He never stopped praising. Why? He realized if God did not intervene, nothing would change. No matter how smart you might be, all your experience, your education, your talent, it is not enough to bring the breakthrough. If you could have gotten a breakthrough in your own strength, you'd have it by now. There he was. Now, I love this. Then Samuel took a suckling lamb 7 days old. Why is the Bible mentioned it's a suckling lamb? God never, ever wastes words. A suckling lamb means it was still nursing. It was helpless. Life, very fragile. And what is Samuel saying? Lord, we're like a suckling lamb. Remember, these sacrifices would represent Israel. He said, right now, said Lord, we're new in our consecration. We're barely alive. We're feeble, but such as we are. And he gave it as a whole burnt offering. What's that mean? Every bit of it. No matter how you find your life today, don't buy into the lie that I don't want to come to God because I'm too weak. I want to come to God when I'm strong enough to help him. You've helped him too much. Come as you are. You say, God, I'm like a suckling lamb today. I'm without strength. I'm afraid. It's new. Samuel held up that little lamb. He said, God, that's how this nation is. We're barely making it. We've got to have your help. And he said, as the enemies came down around him, he placed that nation, he placed that crisis, he placed that suckling lamb on the altar. Now watch what happens. This is amazing. He cried out to the Lord on Israel's behalf, and the Lord answered him. While Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to engage Israel in battle. At your breakthrough point, the enemy will always come to distract you. The enemy fears sacrifice like nothing else. He learned from the sacrifice of Christ, I can't beat sacrifice. And in that moment, everything in you is going to want to throw that sacrifice down, run for your life, take things. Samuel just kept worshiping. Israel's afraid. They're looking around. The armies of the Philistines are coming against them. But it is in the middle of confrontation, at the place of consecration, that God comes with something amazing. I'm going to call it consummation. God comes to bring your breakthrough. Now watch this. But that day, the Lord thundered with a loud thunder against the Philistines. Now it's interesting, in 1 Samuel 2:10, after young Samuel had been born, his mother Hannah, spirit of prophecy, fell on her. Decades before, he was an infant. There are things set over your life in the counsel of God that you don't even know about. Things God has for you that he draws out of his eternal purposes at the right moment. His mama said, all who oppose God will be broken because he will thunder from heaven. And all of a sudden, at just the right moment in time, a thunderclap like an earthquake came. It shook and threw the Philistines into such a panic. They were routed before the Israelites. Israel had never seen them run. They'd never seen the back of the enemy. Some of you have never seen a marriage make it in the generations of your family. You've never really seen what you're bleeding for in your lineage. You've never really seen them run. The Israelites were ready to surrender and run. They're getting ready to run, and they turned around. Their enemies were running. God had come down and routed their enemies. Goes on to say, the men of Israel rushed out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines, slaughtering them all along the way to a point between Bethcar. One of the little boy probably said, Daddy, I didn't know Philistines run. He goes, I didn't either, boy. Let's chase them down. And all of a sudden, in the place of consecration, it thundered. Man, how many of you know it thundered that day Jesus rose from the dead? The earth shook that day he was on the cross. The devil can never, ever defeat sacrifice. Oh, yes, put your hands. Put the suckling lamb of your life today in the hands of God and watch what he does for you. Thunder. Enemies running. Enemies routing. They were chasing them, having victory for the first time in their life. Having victory for the first time in their life. And then either lack of practice, they just stopped chasing them and let them go, killed all they could. Now we know from the next passage what happens here. Fourth point, celebrate. Now catch this. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen. He named it Ebenezer, which means stone of help. Now, goes on to say, thus far the Lord has helped us. So the Philistines were subdued and they stopped invading Israel's territory. Throughout Samuel's lifetime, the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines. The towns from Ekron to Gath that the Philistines had captured from Israel were restored to Israel. And Israel delivered the neighboring territory from the hands of the Philistines. And there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. Now what happens here? Did they chase them all the way out of their territory? No, they did not. Did they get ultimate victory that day? No, they did not. It would be years before they would get their city back, but the tide had changed. Many of you are in a little gloom today. Pastor Jim, I did not get all I was believing for this year. I didn't see all the victories in my marriage or my business or my family. I did not see all I wanted to see. But Samuel understood something. You do not celebrate ultimate victory. You also celebrate your progress. And he stood out between Mizpah and Bethkar, and he took a stone. And he said, this is the Ebenezer stone, which means God is our help. But he also called it Ebenezer because 20 years before, they had been defeated in the battle of Ebenezer. 30,000 killed, ark taken, sons of the priest killed, Eli died from the trauma of defeat. And Samuel said, this is our Ebenezer. The tide is turning. And the tide is turned because the enemy is running. We may not have run him all the way out, but he's running. And he said this, to this geographical point, to this point in time, I'm celebrating what God has done. You know, Robert's been healed physically. This Thanksgiving, I said, God, Robert's not yet where we want him to be. We celebrate where he is. God, Jordan is in heaven. You gave Ron and Lynette twins. We celebrate that where you have taken us. Listen, Bethel's building's not done, but it started. I celebrate your progress. You say, Lord, my marriage is not where I want it to be. It was not where it was. I celebrate my progress. My finances are not where I want them to be, but they're better than they were. I celebrate that progress. I tell you, by the Spirit of God, you're an Ebenezer. The tide is turning. It's time to celebrate your progress. Many of you say, I'm in a life-dominating problem. You do not mark progress in a life-dominating problem by the absence of the problem. You mark it by the time elapsed between instances. It's getting longer and longer. The tide is changing. Tide's changing in your marriage. Tide's changing in your health. Tide's changing in your finances. And this is the cycle through which God transforms you. Your crisis prepares the ground of consecration. You pour yourself out like water. You may feel like a suckling lamb. I can barely make it, Pastor Jim. I still need the sincere milk of the word. God takes you wherever you are. All he wants is your heart. She said it best. All he wants is you. And when you come to your Samuel, Jesus Christ, and you consecrate, says he ever lives to make intercession for you. And right when you're consecrating, in the moment many of you will afresh, the enemy will come down to confront you, scare you, terrify you, because he fears worship. He fears sacrifice. He fears consecration. He fears you standing. Oh, but as you stand, words God has spoken in all eternity about you, thoughts he's had for you. He's just waited for the right time. He thunders from heaven. Thunders from heaven. And that which has been chasing you runs from you. And all you were doing is worshiping. All you were doing was standing on the promise. All you were doing was consecrating. I see the tide changing. I see the tide changing for you. Some of you are saying, I'm about to break down. You're about to break through. That's how it feels to break through. Break down, break through. What's so hard is somehow they meet in the middle and you can't tell which is which. But sooner or later one goes because there's been a switch. You're through. Now, what does this mean for you and I today? Number one, let your crisis drive you to consecration. The place of consecration will soon become the place of consummation. But there's a confrontation in between where the enemy comes to drive you out of that place. And when he comes, as you stand and as you worship, as you offer the suckling lamb of your own soul, watch what God does. As the tide changes, as the breakthrough comes, as God moves. Lastly, it's time to celebrate your progress. It's time to celebrate that you're in the game to fight another year. It's time to celebrate every bit of change. This Thanksgiving, I sat with the kids that could make our kids are scattered all over the world, and I sat and I just began to celebrate progress. I celebrate progress here. I celebrate progress there. I did not get a lot of things I was believing for this year, but I'm ending up better than I started. I celebrate my progress. If you have something to celebrate, let's just give the Lord a clap right now. Let's celebrate that progress today. Let's celebrate what he's doing in your life and in this church today. This is the hour of breakthrough. Oh, yeah. You say today, Pastor, I need a breakthrough or a loved one needs a breakthrough. If that's you, stand to your feet right now. Pastor James, join me. I want you to take as if the soul's in your hand. Put your hands out like this. Imagine an infant lamb. That may be how you feel today. That's how I felt that night with no medical answer for Robert, crying, my tears dropping on his body. But I brought him his feeble state. There's a rock by my house. It's my rock of prayer. It's my Ebenezer stone. And night after night, I'd go out. One time I laid an article of his clothing on that rock. I said, don't forget him. I've laid names on that rock. Don't forget him. Thus far, I've been a Christian 52 years. Thus far, he's helped me. Thus far, when the doctors told me, my wife, they thought she had cancer of the brain, she's alive and well and healed today. When she had epilepsy, they told me she would never, ever drive or be right again. She'd been totally healed 7 years. Listen, life many times is a progress, a process you hardly understand. I celebrate today the progress of this year. Now, hold your soul up. Say, Jesus, I consecrate afresh to you. I give you my soul. I give you my crisis. I'm asking you to thunder from heaven and help me. I celebrate what you've done, but I'm pressing on for more. I give you that loved one, that financial need, health, marital. I'm standing at the place of consecration. Now let me pray for you. Holy Spirit, I thank you for this tremendous church. You are our Ebenezer. You are our stone of help. Jesus, you are the rock that everything is built on. We stand now in your presence, and I speak now prophetically. The tide is changing. Tide is changing. Lord, snap us out of our stupor and let us not miss the miracle. Our enemies are running. Now let us chase them. Help us, Lord. We're thankful for 2014, knowing that in 2015, once again, you would have helped us. You never fail us. Pastor James.
Come on, if you agree with that, why don't you give God a hand clap of praise? Hallelujah.